Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 through 14. In today's sermon titled, Leading Us Back, Reverend David Williams tells us that we all struggle against change. We need to turn to the Lord and trust His guidance for us in order to be what He wants us to be. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in God's presence this morning in what is a new year. Here we are, and it's 2014. And we have memories of the year before and the year before that, and we have hopes of what might be coming. But the challenge whenever we come into God's presence is that we are asked to be constantly transforming and changing and growing. And we don't do that well. We struggle against it. Right now, let's admit the ways that we have struggled and fallen short, both in this year and in the days to come. Let's do so by praying together our prayer of confession. You can find it printed in your bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious God, there is much that we hope to do in the coming year. There are things we hope to accomplish, yearnings that we hope to fulfill. But though we hope and we yearn, the reality we will encounter as we try to change for the better remains beyond us. We stumble towards it, our vision blurred, unaware of what truly awaits us. Help clear our eyes, Lord, that we might move closer to your promise for us. Help guide our feet, because we're not sure how to get there. In the name of Christ, we ask this. Amen. Now hear the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 through 14. You can follow along on page 734 of your Pew Old Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the lame and the blind, those with child and those in labor, together a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I shall lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are almost always places that we would rather be. Right now, today, and over the next couple of days, most of those places are probably tropical islands, where the sun beams down warm and bright in an azure sky and waves roll in across perfect blue lagoons. I think most of us would rather be anywhere at all that bears less resemblance to a live-action version of Disney's Frozen. I kind of have one of those places, and it was learned this last year. It's Hilo, the place where we spent a week when we were on the Big Island in Hawaii. I would like to be there. Maybe not right now, but I'd like to step out those doors, and there it is. Just I'm in Hilo, where it's 75 degrees and perfect every single day. For some reason, probably having to do with wanting to torment myself, I still keep that little town as one of my bookmarks on my smartphone weather app, so that on days like this, I can just look down at those numbers and sigh. So I look. Let's take a look. Get through my code here. All right. Hilo, Hawaii. That's a high of 75 today, partly sunny. And it's a high of 75 tomorrow, partly sunny. And Wednesday, it'll be 77. There is a National Weather Service advisory for that town right now, though. It warns that today the surf is really huge, with some amazing breakers coming in on the North Shores. And I look at that, and the sigh comes. It's like, It's one of those places where I could see living, kind of forever. You know, you think back to sitting on the lanai. A lanai, that's Hawaiian for we get to sit on a porch in January. Ha, 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 ha. I remember just sitting and relaxing and reading and being at ease and picking tropical fruit right there from the garden, and hours would pass and you'd barely have moved as those soft, warm trade winds caressed your face and gently rustled the pages of your Kindle. It's, we could be sitting out on the porch now, too, and we wouldn't be moving much, but that's because we'd be solid. There are places we want to be, spaces in our lives, times in our lives that just are warmer and more welcoming and more desirable than others. Places of rest, places of respite, those warm and sunny isles of the soul that we either hope for or hold as a bright memory of a time that can sustain us when things get cold and hard. We can hold on to hopes for restoration and reconciliation, hopes that we might find our way towards being a person that we've hoped to be, or towards a person that we once were and would like to be again. And this time of year, we think about that a lot. This time of year, as the odometer has rolled over yet again, bringing up the year 2014. I remember being a kid, and 2000 seemed like it was a long time away, and I was going to party like it was 1999, and that was a long way off. That was the future. But it's 2014, and this is the time of year when we want to have a sense of returning to being that person that we hoped we would be and become. This is a time as a culture when we reclaim and reorient ourselves towards that self. And yeah, I mean, it's true. This is an arbitrary time. This is a chosen time. You know, it's New Year. What does that mean to the universe? There's no gravitic notch in the Earth's orbit around the sun that clicks when the Earth goes past it. Bless you. It's nothing like that. But it's important for us to mark time, to have places and particular moments when we say, a new thing has begun, and I'm going to set myself towards it. It's an important part of life. And New Year's is, we sort of do that, at least based on the advertisements we see on every web page we go to and on every show we watch. It's all insanity and P90 whatever. But it's an important time ritually, too. And in the tradition out of which Jesus came, that moving into a new year was a sacred thing. And Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, has always been that point in the annual cycle that, for that people, marks a time when change is most significant. Those days, that 1 week after the Jewish New Year, those are days of awe, but they're also called the days of repentance, when you intentionally change yourself and redirect yourself towards who you want to be. That transition from 1 year to the next allows you to look back and reflect and say, you know, here are the many, many ways, that long list of ways that I managed not to be the self God wants me to be in the past year. Here are the places where you've fallen short in your relationships with the human beings around you. Here are the ways you have struggled to find your vocation and your purpose. Here are the ways that you've maybe not taken as good care of that body that bears the light of your soul. You can look at that and say, here in this time, I commit myself to doing better. That call to transformation, that call to change, is central to Christian faith. Repentance is a core part of the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus would say over and over again. That sense of personal transformation is also a core piece of what the prophet Jeremiah proclaimed and preached. He was all about that. He knew that change was so important. He knew that because he lived in a time that was unspeakably messy. Everything that his people had hoped to be was in ruins. It had been torn apart brick by brick by the onslaught of the Babylonian Empire. And so if you know Jeremiah, if you've ever read this book, if you've ever studied this prophet, this section in particular, the section I read for you, might seem a little odd. Because Jeremiah, as a prophet, has, I don't know, he's got kind of a Debbie Downer reputation. I don't think you would call him that to his face, but he was called the weeping prophet. And for good reason. His was not an easy life. This was someone who was constantly getting thrown into prison or thrown into pits or struck or hit or told that he was unwelcome among his people because the word he had to tell them was hard. And that meant that generally he was negative. You want a representative sample of where most of this very large book of the Bible goes. You want Jeremiah talking about himself. You can flip back to Jeremiah 20, 14 through 18, in which he curses the day he was born, curses the man who brought word of his birth to his father, and then says, it would be better if I had just died in the womb. I wish I had never, ever existed. So it's a little like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. If George Bailey was always getting thrown into prison, and the Nazis had bombed Bedford Falls into rubble. Jeremiah just didn't have a happy time in his existence. So you wouldn't think it's the kind of place you would go if you're looking for a spiritual pick-me-up or a bit of encouragement. But the verses we just heard, what were those like? There was no doom and gloom there. Instead, we hear from Jeremiah preaching to a people who had been broken, that despite the fact that everything around them was ruined, despite the fact that they were struggling, despite the sorrows and hardships they had encountered, God was still holding out that possibility that they would one day be returned to the land of promise. And not just the land that they had inhabited. Jeremiah gives them a much more intense and graceful vision. The vision that Jeremiah brings out in those verses is one of complete restoration, offered to a people who were at a place where they had gotten so far down that they had almost given up. They were slaves in a distant land not their own. Everything sacred had been destroyed. And yet Jeremiah offers them grain and oil and the promise of watered gardens, of dancing and joy and celebration. And then there's that line about giving priests their fill of fatness, which, you know, that one jumps out at me for some reason. Makes me think of New Year's Eve. And ugh, amazing how much my family eats on New Year's Eve. But mostly what he offers them is this radical message of hope. There is hope. As a people stand in a place where they have been kicked out of where they thought they knew where they stood, into a place that was, for lack of a better word, liminal. It's a great SAT word, liminal. It's being in a place of transitions. Liminal literally means you're standing on a threshold. You're in between one state of being and another. You're right on the doorway in between the past that has been and the future that is before you. And the truth of it is that every moment of our lives is that time. We are free beings. Every moment offers up that chance to step in a new and better direction. But we don't see that. God places us into reality as creatures that are at liberty to perceive the arc of our lives and to change them. But that's hard for us. We are creatures of habit. We are creatures of pattern. And that can trap us, that can mire us and enmesh us. Sometimes you have to be a little kicked loose from the reality you've been used to realize you stand in that doorway where you are free to become a more gracious, more loving, more God-breathed person. And that, for all of its secular foundation, is a good thing about this new year, this arbitrarily decided upon click of our life over into a new number, for whatever that means. It at least gives us that chance that we are not just always moving mindlessly, hopelessly on to a day that is just like the day that came before it, and before that, and before that. There is in this time, in each of us, an unrealized potential that we have not yet found our way to engaging. And you have to have a little bit of hope if you're going to move towards that. That's why Jeremiah's message changes so much. When people were stuck, he was telling them, you're stuck, you're stuck, this isn't working. When we get to this chapter, Jeremiah says, you've been kicked loose. It's been hard, but you are free now, and there are warm lands and hopeful shores that God has ready for you. That's something they needed to hear then, as they were lost and hopeless in their exile. And each of us need that hope too. What those places are for you, what that unrealized self is for you, is going to depend on who you are and what you struggle with and what challenges lie before you. What that place is, what that place of promise is, well, that's up to you. But you have to have confidence that God will let you move towards that reality, that it is something that God holds for you. That this next year, in some way that matters, is not going to be like the last. What commitment that is of yours, well, it's up to you. For me, it's really pressing on writing, really trying to do that thing I've always been told, oh, you should do that. But I always find a reason not to. You know, usually it has to do with some kid getting sick or some kid having to be some other place at some time. You make that commitment and you press it and you say, there is no other time than this moment to move forward, and if I do so, then next year there'll be something further beyond that, and next year something further beyond that. Maintaining that commitment to making yourself the person that God has asked you to be, to moving towards that reason you have been called into being. That's why there is a thing like hope. It's what stirs us and drives us onward to improve and grow. So in this year, take this time, this moment, this threshold to move yourselves towards that deeper grace. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen. We have a challenging journey ahead of us. Beyond just getting home, which, please be careful. That journey in this year is a journey towards getting just a little bit closer to who God intends all of us to be. For each of us, that's going to mean a slightly different thing. Pressing forward in study. Working to find a sense of God's gifts and how they might play into your vocation. Figuring out the complex and sometimes trying relationships we have with one another. But in every last one of those places, there is a singular hope offered by God's Spirit. That is that we are called to take God's Spirit into ourselves, to let that light guide us in every one of the decisions we make this year. So as we step out into the bitterness of this day and into the challenges of this year, go out being guided by that hope, by that grace, by that light that is meant to transform our every moment so that our every day, our every breath might be in the service of God's kingdom. That as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ is our call. Let's get out there and live it. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.